Good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. I am glad to be with you this morning. I hope you feel the same. If you don't, just don't tell me. Just turn it off, and I'll be okay. I appreciate you listening, though. Sometimes we actually say something that has some value to you. We're going to talk today about 10 factors that can affect your car's resale value. I am still a little stuffy. My non-COVID cold is getting a little bit better, but it's just weird. I've never had this where I would go from one cold to another cold, and now I'm on cold number three over the last 2 months. And actually, in the middle, in between, I get over it. I mean, it's just like nothing. And then 3 or 4 days later, it comes back. That's why I tested myself, just to make sure that that sneaky COVID didn't come in. But he didn't. I've been able to hold him at bay. At least I think I have. You know, there's a lot of people you talk to, and they say, I think I've had it already. And it's possible. You know, that's you never know. I guess you could get one of those, what do they call it, antigen test, to see if you have any of the correct COVID antigens, the things that fight it, I guess. Who knows? This isn't about antigens and disease and COVID. Let's talk cars. You want to? I have been in the hunt for another project. I'm pretty selective because my goal is not to buy and hold. You know, it's not like somebody who buys Tesla stock and holds on for the wild ride to see how far it's going to go. Or like my parents who bought CSX stock 50 years ago, and it was still in their portfolio when they both passed away. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something to flip. And, you know, that's what car dealers do. I mean, we get new inventory in, we sell it. We get used cars in, we sell them. There are a few cars that I buy and keep, and it's just for sentimental reasons primarily. It's not necessarily because they're of great value. You know, I was telling somebody the other day about, like, at my mom's house and stuff like that we're going through right now. The things that mean the most to me are not the things that are the most valuable. It's just the way it works. Sometimes it's a piece of furniture that's all worn out, but it was always been in my house, and I love it, you know, and that's something that I want to hold on to. I told my daughter Audrey today, she said, Dad, I really don't want anything. And I said, honey, I get it. I understand. But I would love for you to have some things so that I can continue to enjoy it, you know, when I come over. I just don't want to see all this stuff go away. And so maybe that's selfish on my part. I don't know. But let's think about the difference between buying and holding and buying and keeping. I mean, and flipping. And, you know, there's two totally different motives. Now, buy and hold is obvious. You want to get something that you're going to enjoy using. You know, the folks that I buy cars from, typically, these older antique cars, are the folks who bought it with the thought that they were going to use it. But what it does, it becomes something they park in their garage and stack boxes on. And, you know, cars deserve to be driven. And that's not the best way to, and really it's hard on a car for it to just sit in somebody's garage. So, you know, if you're buying to hold, what's your plan? I mean, are you going to go to car shows? Let's say you're looking at 57 Chevy. I've always wanted a 57 Chevy. Okay, why do you want it? Is this a long-term thing? Are you going to go to car shows? Are you going to drive it every Sunday? Does it need work? Do you have time to do the work? You know, that's another thing is people buy these project cars and never get around to it. You know, their lives are busy enough. You really have to think about, do you have the time to do what it takes to restore a car? Most people do not. I mean, unless you're retired, you don't have time to restore a car. The time that you would spend restoring a car would be time that you are taking away from your family. Trust me, I bought a lot of land and prepared that land for resale and stuff and mowed it and took care of it. And when I look back on that time, that was a lot of time I could have been on a golf course with my son. You know, that's a lot of time I could have been spending with my girls doing whatever they wanted to do. So think about that. You know, it's there's all kinds of things that crowd into our lives, and when you put something else into there, it could even be like a dog. We all know that experience. Oh, I just love to have that puppy. It's so cute. And then when you get it, what did we do? That's happened to me with, what was that, a Cocker Spaniel? Tara's dad warned me about that Cocker Spaniel. He said, don't buy a Cocker Spaniel. Those things are the hyper-edness things you've ever done. Well, he didn't really say that. He said they are hyper. He was right, so I should have listened. But, you know, when it comes to a car, you know, it needs to be something that you're going to get enjoyment out of, that you're going to actually use. And typically people run out of steam and they just they let it sit in the garage and get in the way of everything else. And so really think about that purchase. For example, right now, you know, I've got way too many cars. I've got these Mustangs and that Corvette and you know, just I could go on. I think I'm up to about 12 vehicles right now. And so something's got to go. And I've just got to decide what. But see, I have a distinct advantage over you. I own a car dealership and I have a restoration shop, and I can pay people to do things, you know, up to a level, up to a certain point. Now, if you are restoring a car to sell it, that's a totally different deal. You have to really understand the market, and that takes some defined study time to see, you know, where is the market? What is happening in the market? You can't sit in front of a TV and watch the Mecum auction for 3 days and think that you know the values of cars, because you don't. You know, you don't know how many drunk people were there at that auction bidding against each other, and then when they woke up the next morning, they say, what did I do? You know, because that happens. So, you know, people will see a, I don't know, 56 Thunderbird go across the auction, looks kind of like theirs, and it brings, you know, $75,000, and all of a sudden they think that that pile of Thunderbird in their garage is worth $75,000. But it's not. Or somebody that sees a two-door Impala, you know, a 62-409 four-speed Impala go across the block, and brings $100,000, and they think their four-door, the rusty four-door with a six-cylinder sitting in the garage is worth that much money. It's not. So, you know, understanding the market. What can you flip? What can you buy now and flip? Well, you can buy what and flip something that is desirable in the market right now. You can go to Hagerty.com is one place you can go and look at values. If you're drilling into what type of car you're going to buy, you can go to Hagerty and punch those cars in. Just go ahead and register with Hagerty, because they won't let you do the full appraisal if you don't register. So do that, and then just punch in the cars that you're thinking about. And you can look at the trend, and it will show you recent sales as well, what these things are bringing. Now, as you know, I've said on this radio show many times, I use bringatrailer.com. And, you know, the primary reason I do that is because it goes all over the world. And I can sell a car from Greenville, Tennessee. I can take pictures here. I can stay in the comfort of my office, gather up all my information, submit it to Bring a Trailer, and watch the auction. Now, the downside is that it takes about 60 days from the time you submit a car to the time the auction actually starts. But, man, that's a lot better than having to load it up in a trailer and drive somewhere and then have the car not bring enough money because there's not enough of the right people at the auction for that car. And then you end up having to bring it home. Or you drop the reserve so low that, you know, just to get rid of it. And you didn't really have to do that. So, you know, right now, Mustangs are hot. Not coupes, but fastbacks. Convertibles are hot. Thunderbirds are getting hot, you know, from the 50s. Anything newer than that? Well, early 60s, maybe up to 66. Those are starting to go up. But anything 55, 56, 57 are really starting to shoot up. Any Chevrolet truck from 73 to 1987, what they call the square body trucks. Some of the Fords from that era. Those are getting hot. Camaros are getting hot again. They went up and then back down, and now they're starting to go up. But, you know, when it comes to Carson, the 50s just really aren't doing it. There are a few exceptions, especially if it's foreign made and it starts with a P. If it's a Porsche, then the Porsche market is actually still red hot, and that's something that you can buy. British cars are not, except for the E-Type Jaguars and Aston Martins. But, folks, those things are so in the stratosphere already. I mean, if you bought an E-Type Jaguar, a really nice one, 10 years ago, you'd pay in the 50s, and now they're in the 130 to 140 range. So you can see how some of these old cars are better than money in a 401k. But I want to talk about, when I come back, the things that you can pretty much kill the value of your car. And, you're not really into flipping antique cars. You're into flipping modern cars because you own one. It's in the driveway. What can you do to enhance your ability to sell that thing? Let's talk about that here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, folks, I don't know a lot about campers. I don't know a lot as far as resale value is concerned. I don't know a lot about a lot of different things, but I do know a lot about resale on cars and what does sell, what doesn't sell, how to make money with cars. I've got years of experience at that. And that's why you won't see me buying and selling boats, for example, or campers, or anything else that has wheels or will float. Motorcycles. I don't know anything about motorcycles either. And don't want to. I enjoy cars too much. But when it comes to cars, I know things that you can do to really hurt the value of your car. And a lot of people want to personalize their cars, and they put stickers all over them. You know, they put stickers on the bumpers, and then those bumper stickers stay there too long, and they get all cracks in them, and then you try to take them off, and the paint comes off with them. Well, if you're trying to sell your car or trade it in, you may really enjoy how personalized that car is and the political statements and stuff that you're making on the back of it, but most other people don't agree with that. You need to remove those before you decide to trade your car. Because if you don't, the used car manager is going to look at that sticker and he's going to think, well, I wonder how long that's been on there. I better deduct in case I have to repaint that bumper. So, you know, what you're thinking is a nice, talking about how much you love nature or you love salt life, and it actually ends up costing you money. So that's something that you don't want to do. You know, if your car has lights that has cracked lenses, burned out bulbs, you know how your lenses and your headlights turn yellow? And that's just the natural impact that the sun has on plastic, and you can get those replaced, but I'll tell you what, it's expensive if you're looking at late model stuff. You don't want to think about that. You want to try to find somebody who can polish those out or do it yourself. A lot of the do-it-yourself kits don't work. You might need a professional to actually work on those headlights for you, but it'll be worth the money because it makes the front end of your car look a lot better. Now, if you've got LED or high intensity discharge lighting, you should probably consider using a professional to get the stains out of it. Because, like I said, I had a friend that had a BMW that had wanted us to look at it. And I think the lenses, the headlight assemblies for the cars was $3,500 per side. So, you know, it's one of the reasons insurance companies charge so much anymore for insurance is because of how expensive headlights and airbags have gotten. You know, where you live determines a lot about the value of your car. If you moved here from Florida and you had a pickup truck, pretty certain you didn't need four-wheel drive, so you bought a two-wheel drive truck. Well, in East Tennessee, that's not going to sell very well. So that's where you need to use the power of the internet, maybe advertise that thing on Facebook Marketplace. Because if you go to trade it, there's going to be a pretty serious deduction for it being a two-wheel drive vehicle. So think about that when you buy a truck. Make sure that you buy four-wheel drive whether you need it or not. You know, these days you can get a windshield replaced pretty inexpensively, and in some states your insurance company will cover it without you paying a deductible. Some shoppers might assume that replacing a cracked windshield is out of their budget, but if you've got a crack, it's worth the money to go ahead and get Safelite to check it out. Get an estimate. Find out what it's going to cost. Maybe your insurance will cover it. If you have a star in your windshield, you know, where a rock flies up and hits you right in your line of sight, these are things that you really need to get addressed before you try to sell your car to somebody else. Because the average consumer, you know, if you're advertising this thing and they come see it and they see a crack in the windshield, they're not thinking $250 or $100 deductible. They're thinking $500 because they don't know, and it could affect your ability to sell that car. I tell you another thing that will. If you're a smoker, you know, I know a lot of smokers really try to avoid blowing smoke in their car. You know, they'll roll down the window and blow it out the window or something like that. That doesn't work. Smoker cars are going to turn off about 80% of the people out there, because about 80% of the people out there don't smoke. And, you know, keeping your ash, not using your ashtray in your car. Some of you don't care. You know, you just buy your car and smoke. And heck, you might even put your cigarette on in your carpet, for that matter. I've seen that, seen plenty of it. But, you know, if you've got cigarette burns in your seat and your car reeks of tobacco, then that's going to turn off a lot of people. You know, and one of the best things you can do is just have it treated. Now, we have a device that we put in cars that reek of tobacco smoke. And it does a pretty good job. And, I mean, it'll probably eliminate half of the smell, maybe 70%. There's still going to be a little bit. And then you can mask the rest of it with some air fresheners and things like that, and leaving the windows down for a couple weeks outside. You know, these are things that can help. But if you're going to turn off a lot of people, especially if your ashtrays are really dirty, and, you know, a lot of car dealers will, if they trade for a car and it's obviously a smoker car, they'll do everything they can to get the smell out of it, and then they'll replace the ashtrays. They'll just get rid of them. And, you know, that's probably a little deceptive. I mean, well, it's real deceptive. If somebody, what you're trying to do is convince somebody that it's not a smoker car. But it is, and your nose is going to tell you that. Another thing that turns people off if they're paying attention are mismatched tires. A lot of people, when they have worn out tires, they just replace the two that are worn out. Like if you have a front-end alignment situation and your front tires are worn out on the inside and the rear tires are fine, a lot of people will just replace the front. I don't ever recommend that. I think you ought to replace all four, get a four-wheel alignment, and you're good to go. Just get an alignment every year, and then you won't have that. And rotate your tires every 5,000 miles when you get your oil changed, and your tires will last a long time. Keep the air pressures up as well. You know, these are all little things that you can do. But if you're going to replace the tires, get the same brand. You know, you may not have liked them, but if you're getting ready to trade your car, don't put mismatched tires on there, because the dealership, first thing they're going to do is deduct four set of tires, because we don't sell cars with mismatched tires. You know, you bought your car and you liked the color when you bought it, but then you kind of get tired of it after a while. Well, that same kind of a feeling occurs to a lot of buyers, potential buyers for your car. You know what's surprising is that these really wild colors, they depreciate the least. Orange, yellow, some of these funky green colors. Gold colors tend to depreciate the most, followed by silver, beige, you know, the colors that you see the most. Now, white is typically... it's the best-selling color. It's also the one that has the best resale value for us. Now, orange and yellow, they tend to turn faster, but, you know, if white is just a great color for a car, and there are specific reasons for that, and I'll get into those in just a minute. In my 43 years in the car business, the easiest color to sell is white, and there's a pretty simple reason for that, is you can overcome just about any objection to white. And it's simple. White is the easiest color to match. Now, I'm not talking about those pearl whites. Those are hard. But just a flat white color is the easiest color to match if you ever wreck the car. It's also much cooler. You know, if you're out on a hot car lot and you say, put your hand on this white car, well, they don't feel anything. Put your hand on this black car, and they have to jerk their hand off of it or get burned. White is just keeps the car cooler. White's easy to see. You know, if you're out on the road and you're pulling out into a busy highway, people can see a white car, not like yellow or orange or something like that. And then, you know, the door dings that are inevitable if you park in any kind of big parking lot and you're around cars. I think some people intentionally ding cars just to, hey, look at that brand new car. Let's go ding it. Let's let our shopping cart go and see how much damage it'll do. Are there people like that? Yes. So those door dings and little things are so much easier to see on a dark car. And so, you know, typically if you use a little bit of logic, you can overcome somebody's objection. That's probably why more white cars are sold than just about anything else. And finally, you know, just do your regular maintenance on the car. Keep service records, for goodness sake. Keep them in your glove box if necessary. Just write them down in a book. You know, people will start doing that and have good intentions, and then, you know, 6 months later, they've dropped the ball, and then they have no records. Records sell cars. If you can pull out a book and say, this is every oil change that we did, this is a record of the fuel economy that we got, the more evidence that you have, the more somebody's going to want your car. These are just little things you can do, and it works with consumers. And it works with dealers. If a dealer knows that you've taken care of your car, you've got maintenance records, you know, you don't have mismatched tires, you don't have horrendous stains in your seats, it's not a smoker car, dealers are going to pay up for those kind of vehicles. And that also applies to some of these other companies that are buying cars, like CarMax and Carvana and places like that. So hopefully this information will help you. If you have any other questions, feel free to call me on my cell phone, 423-552-2020, and I guess I'll see you tomorrow.